How frustrating is it when you don't get listened to, when you feel that no one listens to what you say, when you keep asking your kids to tidy their room, but nothing happens? Or you ask your husband to take out the bins, or you keep asking your neighbour to pick up after their dog in your front lawn. There's a place out on Old Maryborough Road that's got that written in chalk on their front path at the moment. They must be sick of someone not listening to them. It is frustrating when people don't listen to you. What we're doing today is we're back in our time in Luke's Gospel, investigating Jesus through his orderly account, Luke's orderly account of his life. So over Easter, over Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we were in Luke's Gospel. We jumped to the end of Luke's Gospel. But for the rest of the month of April, we're going to be finishing our time in these opening chapters of Luke's Gospel. So what we've been doing since the beginning of this year, basically, is looking at this first part of Luke's account. You might have seen this picture before, particularly in our Bible studies. Luke has ordered his account of Jesus' life around the different areas of Jesus' ministry. So in the first couple of chapters, he talks about Jesus' birth. We have the Christmas stories and that kind of stuff, Jesus in his childhood. And then after that, the focus is on the north, Jesus' ministry up in Galilee. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be finishing our time in chapters 4 to 9, the time when Jesus' ministry is focused up there in Galilee. And in today's passage, Jesus is asking us to check our hearing. Most of us will have had hearing tests, whether with the headphones, the different sounding beeps, where you have to press the button whenever you think you hear some faint noise in the distance. Or maybe you might have seen a baby having a hearing test. It's absolutely amazing what they do there. They put the little headphones on, this baby only a couple of days old, and there's little clicks, and somehow they measure whether or not the nerves are sending the right kind of electricity through the brain. It's amazing. You may have seen that kind of hearing test happening. But Jesus' hearing test, he's not so worried about our physical organs. He's not worried so much about hearing, but listening. What are we going to do with what Jesus says? So today we're looking at the first half of Luke chapter 8. And in this section we're going to see four different moments that ask us this question: are you listening to Jesus? Can you hear Jesus? And the first event in chapter 8 is a summary. So Jesus is moving around that region of Galilee, telling people the good news that God's kingdom has come. And if you remember back to chapter 4, that's a long time ago now, but the good news that Jesus is preaching is that freedom and God's blessing has come. God's king is here, God's kingdom is near. And we find out in this summary that Jesus' 12 key followers, his apostles, his messengers, are with him. And there's no surprise there. But we also get told that there is a bunch of women, and they have a substantial role as Jesus' disciples. At the end of chapter 7, which we read on the Sunday just before Easter, we met the sinful woman, someone who knew how much she needed to be forgiven by God, and since she was forgiven lots, she loved lots. She washed Jesus' feet with tears and hair and doused his feet in perfume. She was an example of a woman who trusted Jesus, who had faith in him. And now Luke tells us that there are other women following Jesus. These are a diverse group of women. One is Mary Magdalene. For some reason, lots of people think that Mary is that sinful woman of the previous story, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that. But she was demon-possessed until Jesus rescued her. And so before she met Jesus, she would have been an outcast, rejected by her family and society, but she's met Jesus, listened to him, and follows him. It isn't just outcast women following Jesus. There's also a woman called Joanna who comes from a rich and powerful family. Her husband works for the king, for Herod. He is a steward, maybe a manager or an administrator. Whatever his job is, he and his wife are right up there, rich and powerful. And she listened to Jesus and now follows him. And there is also a woman named Susanna, but we don't know anything else about her. And there's other women as well. So let's hear about these women from verse 1. So Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, page 1003 in the Pew Bibles. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings or the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Throughout the last 2,000 years, the church has often been accused of being anti-women. That the church hasn't valued women, has silenced and demeaned them. And that accusation has a lot of truth. But Jesus is never anti-women. These women are not sidelined or ignored. They are at the center and they're valued. They play a meaningful and significant role in Jesus' ministry. And they're mentioned here as examples of people who have heard Jesus, who've allowed God's word to take root in their life and to change them. They are real historical human examples of the parable and proverbs that we're going to focus on today. So let's do that. Let's have a look at the parable and the proverb. Now, the parable that Jesus tells, it's a very simple story about a farmer planting a crop. But unlike farmers these days who use tractors and robots and GPS computers to make sure that every seed gets placed exactly where it needs to grow, back in Jesus' day, you just throw the seed over the field. It's pretty inefficient. Lots of the seed doesn't fall on the nicely ploughed field. And as Jesus tells the story, we see that some falls on the road and it gets gobbled up by birds the moment it lands. Some falls on the rocks. Maybe in Jesus' mind, the soil is a bit like the area around the manse. Lots of shaley type rock in some of those places. There's not much use planting there. In fact, there are some places around the manse that even the weeds can't manage to grow. They've been dying on us this last couple of weeks. Not just the ones I sprayed with Roundup, the other ones too. Some of the seeds fall on the edge of the field where there are plenty of weeds. When I think of weeds, my mind goes straight to lantana. The way it just takes over a paddock and nothing else has even a slightest chance of growing. It's just horrible stuff. And finally, some seed falls on the field in the rich soil that's been ploughed and prepared for planting. And these seeds sprout and grow into a beautiful crop. So have a listen as Jesus tells the parable from verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable, a story. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's a pretty straightforward story. It's not a particularly riveting tale, but it's pretty straightforward. But what Jesus says at the end, verse 8, if you've got ears, listen up to what I'm saying. There's more to this story than just pointing out some obvious agricultural facts. Now, Jesus is telling his story to quite a big group of people. We saw that in verse 4. But his disciples, those close to him, including Mary and Joanna and Susanna, they say to Jesus, we're not quite sure what it is we're meant to hear. And so Jesus explains to them the parable. But before he does that, he points out that what he's saying, his teaching is deliberately divisive. When I was a kid, I was told that Jesus spoke in parables because a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I was told that Jesus spoke in parables because people like us, well, we need a simple story to understand the deep truths of God. But that's not quite right. In fact, Jesus says that he speaks in parables so that people don't understand him. Now that sounds surprising, doesn't it? But have a listen to what he says from verse 9. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now Jesus is quoting there the prophet Isaiah. He's saying that his ministry divides people. Some will listen to his message. They will hear. But others, they won't hear. For them, it's just a story. And that's actually what the story of the soils is about. The story about the soils illustrates the way that Jesus' teaching divides. Jesus said the same thing to everyone. Everyone hears the same message, but not everyone listens. And we see this as Jesus explains the parable. Jesus says the first soil, the soil by the road, where the seed is gobbled up by the birds, it's like people who hear Jesus speaking, but it's in one ear and out the other because the devil's put cotton wool in their ears. Verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Jesus is saying that listening to him, it's got nothing to do with eardrums and cochlears. Listening to him is spiritual. And one of the things that prevents people from hearing Jesus is Satan. The second thing that he says stops people from really listening is temptation and suffering. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but these have no root, who believe for a while and in the time of temptation fall away. The next soil, the lantana, it's people who don't listen to Jesus because life is either too good or too bad. They're either distracted by money and having fun or distracted by anxieties and cares. So verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. And then the final soil, the good soil, are those who take Jesus' word to heart and grow as his followers. Verse 15, but the ones who fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now what's the point of what Jesus is saying? The point of this parable isn't to explain why people don't become Christians. It's not to explain why people don't listen when we tell them about Jesus, though it does help us understand that. But Jesus' point is to encourage and warn his disciples. The question he is asking is, do you have ears? Will you listen? What kind of soil are you? Will you be the good soil? And Jesus is giving us the same warning today. Warning us about the kind of things that kill the seed of God's word, encouraging us to be wary of those things so that God's word can take root in us. And towards the end, we'll get practical about how we can do that. So we're into the second section now, and he gives the same warning again, actually, in this second section. This time he doesn't compare the word of God to a seed, but to light, a light that shines and reveals. Now we've got to be careful here as we read this parable that we don't mix up what Jesus is saying here. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says that his followers are the light of the world, that our good deeds need to shine out bright so that people can see that Jesus is King. That's not what Jesus is saying here. This light is more like a spotlight or a searchlight. It's a light that reveals. It reveals whether or not people have heard and accepted God's word. Verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. As a kid, I used to love playing spotlight at night. You know, when you go out with the torches. One time, my parents were leaders on a Scripture Union camp, and we played the most hardcore, the most serious game of spotlight I have ever played. It was a moonless night. We were out in the bush. The campers, I was in primary school at the time, it was a high school camp. The high schoolers were very serious. They dressed up in army camouflage gear. They put on the camo paint. Some of them even had those camouflage nets so that they couldn't be seen. And instead of just using torches to find people, the spotters, they had a car or a truck headlight, hooked it up to a car battery, and there was this bright searchlight searching out people as they moved through the bush trying to get to the zone, the goal, whatever it was. God's word is a searchlight. It reveals things that are hidden. As we've been reading through Luke, one of the things that stuck out is that God's word, it pinpoints the hidden sins of our heart. Judgmentalism, greed, hypocrisy, legalism. One by one, Jesus' words have put the spotlight on these things. God hasn't put the light of his word under a basket. It does its job of the revealing the truth. Are we listening to Jesus? So that's the first three pictures of listening to Jesus. So we've seen the women, Mary, Susanna and Joanna, examples of people who hear and obey. Then we heard the parable of the soils, warning us of the things that give us hearing problems and encouraging us to be good soil. And we saw the picture of God's word as a light, shining, revealing whether or not we listen. And with the soil and the light, they're warnings about blocking our ears to Jesus, and he promises fruitfulness and abundance to those who listen. In this final picture, the promise is of a relationship with Christ. So whilst Jesus has been teaching, his family has been on the outside trying to get in. Those who are related to Jesus, who share a human mother, they are on the outside trying to get in. But even though they're related, they can't physically get to Jesus. The most they can do is get a message to him. Now to us, this seems like a pretty rude situation, doesn't it? Imagine someone in your family suddenly gets famous and then they start snubbing you. You'd be ticked right off, wouldn't you? Well, in ancient Jewish culture where family meant so much more than it even means to us, it would have been even more insulting. Jesus' family can't see him. All they can do is send a message to him. And Jesus' response would have shocked the crowd. Instead of dropping everything for his family, he redefines what family means. Verse 19, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now remember, everything we've been hearing today has been about listening, really hearing Jesus' word. That's what makes you good soil or unashamed when the spotlight hits. Jesus is using this moment to say the same thing again, to reinforce it. God isn't interested in genetics. Being right with God, it doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter what your background is. Being in Jesus' family, it's open to anyone, anyone with ears to hear, who listens and does. This is so comforting and encouraging. If all we had was the parable of the soils, then you might think that God just wants a big crop, that he's just using people to be fruitful, but there's more to it than that. If you're listening to Jesus, if you're trusting and following him, then you're in his family. A family not built on bloodlines, but the shed blood of Christ. So are you listening to Jesus? What's on offer for those who listen is nothing less than adoption into God's family. But the cost of ignoring Jesus, well, you'll be found out when the spotlight of God's judgment comes. So how do we listen to God's word? Well, this is why church must be focused on reading and teaching the Bible. We believe that the most important thing in the world is for people to have an opportunity to hear God's word and accept it. And that's why we read the Bible at church and sing what the Bible says to each other. And that's why when I preach, I want you to have your Bible open. And I want you to read through what the Bible says. I will read through what the Bible says, even though it's been read before, because I want our focus to be on God's word. That's why our Sunday school teachers bring God's word to our children. It's why we have Bible study groups. Our focus is on reading the Bible together. And we need to be encouraging a culture here where we read the Bible in pairs and triplets. We read it in our families and by ourselves, giving ourselves every opportunity to have open ears to God's word and giving others every opportunity. But there's more to hearing than just sound waves going into earlobes or light bouncing off the page into our retinas. The challenge of Jesus is the seed has been sown, the light is shining. Are you listening? What stops you from listening to and accepting God's word? Well, we've been told, haven't we? The devil snatches it away. So we need to be prayerful. Suffering and temptation can kill the seed. So we need to keep hearing that in the gospel, Jesus knows our suffering. And he has risen from the dead to give us the certain promise that one day he will make all things new. We need to know that at Easter, Jesus defeated the power of sin and God's Spirit is in us now so that we can say no to sin and yes to Jesus. Distractions, both good and bad things, can smother the seed. This is a big one. It is hard to hear God's word when the TV is blaring and the phone is chirping and ringing. We need to spray some spiritual Roundup to kill those weeds. We need to make time, quality time, to hear God's word, whether it's by ourselves or at church or making church and Bible study a priority. It's where memorizing the Bible can help, filling our minds and thoughts with God's word. I don't do memorization much anymore, but I reckon we're going to start Romans in a couple of weeks' time. Wouldn't it be great for us as a church to be memorizing some key passages, some key verses out of Romans? There's loads more practical things we could say about how we can kill those weeds, get rid of those rocks, so we can hear God's word. It's something to chat about over morning tea. Ask someone, where do they find the weeds and the rocks that stop them from hearing God's word? What have they done to clear out the field? We find it frustrating when people don't listen to us. But when God speaks and we don't listen, it's not just frustrating. It's deadly. The risk is that the seed will die and the spotlight of God's judgment will find us out. So let's pray that God will give us ears to hear. Let's pray. Father God, we know that of ourselves we cannot hear your word. The devil would snatch it, we would smother it, and so we ask for you to help us listen to your word. Give us ears to hear. Protect us from Satan. Empower us to flee from temptation and distractions. Help us to listen to Jesus and do what he says. Lord God, we ask that you would keep our church a listening church. Help us to be gospel-centered and Bible-based. Help us to make lots of opportunities to hear your words in groups, in families, in private. But most of all, help us to not just be hearers, but doers, to respond to what we hear with repentance and faith in Jesus. Amen.